JC.
In 4DJC, KA3JCA.
Just had an early on in a couple of days. Hope you're doing okay.
Issues that I was trying to take care of medically, that I had doctor's appointment today, had a VA appointment the other day. So I just try to get those all taken, and it just takes a lot out of me. So I've been resting a lot.
I kind of know where you're going there. I don't have quite that much going on. I had to go to dentist this morning and get some old amalgam fillings replaced and had a crown done. Got one more that'll finish me up. I had a lot of work done on my teeth over the years and had several implants and other stuff done, and I'm finally getting everything about as good as I'm going to get it at my age, I guess. But it's been a long process, long, expensive process. I'm still able to eat and got my teeth. That's important, I guess.
That is. That's very much important. Well, I could venture to say that I saw the doctor 5 months ago, Jerry, and my A1C for my blood sugar was like up above 11. And I saw him here in August, and it was 7.6. And they made some tweak to my medication, you know, during that time frame. So it went down, and then I went back again the other day to the VA, and they drew blood, and it stayed the same. It didn't go up or down, but at least we know we're on the right track.
Kind of identify with that, too. It's probably been close to 15 years ago, maybe. Maybe a little longer than that now, but I had been paying attention to what I was eating. I gained a good bit of weight. I was traveling on the road a lot, eating out all the time. And went to my doctor and said, I'm fasting, but my glucose was like in the 150 range. And A1C was like 7.2 or something like that. And he said, what I need to do, he said, first thing you need to do is lose weight. So I lost over a period of a number of months, I lost about 60 pounds, actually closer to 70 now, and my A1C runs around 5.2, something like that now, and of course my fast is always under, usually around 90 or 93, something like that. But that was a scare. My mother-in-law had type 2 diabetes, but she never would control her diet, but you know, a lot of times there's not a lot you can do about it, you just got to deal with it, and especially if you can't be very active, and that's a lot of it. But I was bound and determined I was not going to have to take any insulin. You never know. I mean, as you age, it gets worse. But so far, my has been real good. I was real fortunate. It wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. That I cut back on most everything, and I didn't starve myself, but I also cut back on soft drink, cut them out, cut a lot of sugar out, that sort of thing. Well, I started counting my carbs. And it wasn't that long of a process, but people always ask me, what do you do? I said, I ate the same thing almost every day. I mean, I ate the same diet. If you look at my diet from Monday through Friday, it's the same thing every week almost.
That, or I'm doing that currently right now. But, one of the things that they found that I'm actually insulin resistant, so normal insulin doesn't work with me. So I have the new type of insulin. It's a U500, which is 5 times the amount of concentration over the normal insulin. So just to give you an example, I used to take about 400 units of insulin per day, even on a controlled diet, and it was barely keeping my blood sugar low. So they're giving me that U500, which is 5 times the concentration, and I'm still at the level that I was taking before, but like I said, it's making progress. I'm in the 63% range of keeping my sugars down and so forth like that, so come watch what I eat. KA3JCA.
Insulin resistance is a lot more common than people realize, and Some people you think would not have a problem with A1C and blood sugar levels, you know, do, and it's primarily because of that. Sometimes it's medication interfering with it, and other times it's just, I don't know whether you'd call it genetic or not, but some people are predisposed to it, I think. And like I said, I don't exercise a lot anymore, but I do enough to keep, you know, reasonably well fit, but my balance ain't so great, my eyesight ain't so great, so I don't get out there and run around and do jumping jacks and that sort of thing. But it's real easy to get in that category there, and it amazes me that that how many people are type 2 diabetic now.
It's crazy. It really is. Well, I don't wish it on anybody. I will tell you that now that we've got it a lot better under control than what it was before, today she actually made a couple adjustments on some newer medication that's out that will actually help lower it even more, which I'm praying will work. But we're going to try it for a month and just see. She doesn't want to take a, too drastic of a step, but at the same time she wants to try and see if a small change. She decreased the insulin part by 20%, and it gave me I take Ozempic in addition to the insulin too once a week. She upped that one and hit this new pill out that's called Jardiance she gave me, so that's supposed to help. We'll see what happens.
Hope it's successful. It's really a problem. You know, do you self-administer, or do you own a pump?
Type 2, and I self-administer. I have a meter that reads my blood sugar every 5 minutes, and I can tell if it's high or low. And then if I feel funny, but the meter says one thing and I feel different, that's when I check my blood sugar just to make sure that it's not a false reading.
That's good to know. Maybe one of these days they'll find some genetic situation where they can get in there and do some gene modification and solve a lot of those issues. Because this, my mother-in-law would not watch her, what she ate. She's eating and taking insulin. She was real hard-headed about it, and it just, then she developed renal cell cancer, and some of the stuff that she was taking was not just making it worse. That insulin and eating thing, I mean, it's a catch-22 situation. You take insulin and it makes you hungry, and then it's just a whole different world. And it's hard for people who've been type one all their lives. You know, they tend to do a little better job, but type two is real hard to. It's real hard to grasp it, and it's hard for people to get control of. And it can be done, but when you're taking that many medications like you're taking, and the other things you have to deal with, it makes it like a multitude more difficult to control than it would be for an average person.
Sure, nobody wanted to jump in. KA3JC within 40 DJC, KA3JC again. One of the other things, too, that we had to talk about, especially when you have a multitude of doctors, like, I have cardiology, endocrinology, I have a special AFib doctor, I have a primary care. So you have all these freaking doctors, and each one of them want to tell you something different. And it's funny because I had this conversation with the doctor today. I said, I do one thing and they tell me, no, you got to do this. So I do that. Then another one tells me, no, you can't do that. You got to do this. It's like they really don't know what. It's one of those guessing games. And somebody said something related to that, like a weatherman the other day, turned to like 10 different channels. One of them is bound to be right.
I was blessed to have a really good GP for years. He was a DO, and he He'd been practicing. Of course, he's retired now, but he was a really good doctor, and he really knew what he was doing. He knew a lot of phases of medicine. You know, he'd been dealing with so many people over the years, you know, hundreds of thousands, I guess, that there weren't too many situations he hadn't run across that had stumped him, or, you know, at least he would know where to go to send you to get the answer, and didn't hesitate about sending you to a specialist if you needed one. But some of the hospitals now, and it's not every hospital, and sometimes you just have to kind of dig around. There's some of them that have, you know, like a coordinated care teams, and you know, some of them have just certain individuals. You know, if you meet a certain restriction, you know, certain designation, they'll have them. I've got thyroid and parathyroid issues, so I got to have a good endocrinologist There's a really one of the best in probably in the U.S. in Greenville. So we're kind of lucky there and having other things. Mine's more mundane stuff for the most part, but having a good endocrinologist is a really, really important thing if you're having trouble, no matter whether it's diabetes or thyroid disorders or that sort of problem. KA3JCA and 4DJ6.
Jerry, I've got an endocrinologist there over at 2 Innovation Drive. He's such a hard person to get in to see, and I saw him finally, and now I see the nurse practitioner that works for him, but I think we're on the right track on getting all of this fixed out.
To get in touch with my daughter, had primary papillary thyroid cancer some years back, and she has contacts here at the hospital. One of her friends, her husband is a research doctor, a cancer doctor there at Prisma now. But he's you know, nationally, he's a young guy, but he's nationally prominent. And sometimes she can help, you know, get me or my wife into the right to see the right person, especially if my wife had an issue. And let this thing drop. Several years ago, where I thought she'd had a stroke. She was outside. This was on Labor Day weekend. She was, digging up a crepe myrtle stump of all things. She loves to work in the yard. And she just got, you know, I went out there and she looked just awfully hot. She came inside and I thought she might have had a heat stroke, a regular stroke. And she kept saying, you know, she didn't know where she was, and then I got her inside and got her cooled off, and she didn't have any signs of a regular stroke, heat stroke either, for that matter, but she couldn't remember what I told her 30 seconds ago. And I said, well, this ain't right, she could curl her tongue, write her name, that sort of thing, so she didn't have the issues of no paralysis, no numbness, anything like that. So I just drove to the hospital, and luckily we got a guy over here in Anderson that knew what he was looking at, and he said, well, they did the test. They did look for a TIA or a stroke or heart issues, couldn't find anything. And he said, well, the intern is there, said, well, it's just, we're pretty sure it's what they call transglobal amnesia. And that's a situation where you something just like a, it's almost like a, it's not related, not directly related, but it's close to epileptic type situation. And for about 3 or 4 hours there, she didn't remember that 3 or 4 hours at all. Now, she remembers leading up to it and afterwards, and then stuff, over the years, stuff has started filling back in again, but she has lost her memory for that part of time. And I could tell her something now, and she'd ask me the same question 20 seconds later. What time was it? Yeah. And I just, and if I found out it's not common at all, but it's not one of these unknown, you know, there's no treatment for it. You just get over it, and hopefully they don't have another one. But it scared me. But luckily we had a really good guy that, carried down to diagnosis in the process of that, they also discovered she had she already malformation with brainstem, a little lower in the back of the head, and we got her seeing a really good neurologist. And she wouldn't have any symptoms unless she has symptoms. She doesn't need to do anything with it. It may get worse later on, but so far she's been real lucky, not had any issues with it. But, you know, I tell you what, having a good hospital close by, and they do all the right tests and so forth is important.
She's better now. Well, I can say one thing. The doctors here in the upstate are pretty decent. I mean, I did have a couple of issues where I went to Spartanburg Regional there in Paladin 14 and 85 and went to Prism, and then also went to Bon Secours, and it had the same symptoms every time. And finally, the third trip, I chose Bon Secours, and they actually figured out what my problem was and put me in the hospital for a couple of weeks, and I won't say I'm better, but it's a lot more controlled.
I had my spinal surgery at St. Francis, and our gastro doctor's there, but the wife's cancer surgeon was at Prisma, but he was one of those guys that he really had, he had a good reputation, you know, and did a good job, you know, taking care of her. And the guy, people have been answered, did a good job too. It's not a lot of stuff isn't necessarily, you know, they're not, don't have a lot of specialties over here, but it's a pretty decent hospital to get to, especially in the ER, because they took good care of me the time my wife was there when I was there as well. But getting the right person, you know, some of the stuff is difficult to diagnose. And, you know, I think sometimes it's like that old adage, if all you got's a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Jerry, let me go here. Publix is calling me about my prescription, and I'll get back with you later. KA3JCA.
Okay, Richard, talk to you later. KA3JCA and 4DJC.
22JKT Mobile. Testing.